see these preachers now and again, and they come opening a number of different books, and it makes them look educated, doesn't it? Well, I'm far from that, let me tell you. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 onwards. It says, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. This is something that I've actually had to walk myself over the last recent times. And what I've found is that you actually can't walk this unless you've had to experience it. And running Teen Challenge is, it's not an easy gig. It's a faith-based ministry in our very secular society that we find ourselves in. With the separation of church and state, those of us who stand for the gospel will not receive any resource from the government. We must stand strong, though. Amen? Because if we cave into the almighty dollar, then we're a fake. We're not standing up for Jesus. We're not standing for who we believe in. We have no authority to speak the gospel. We actually have to make a decision as to who we're going to stand for, who we're going to represent, who we're going to be ambassadors for. So it's a choice thing that God actually allows to his people. Will you choose Jesus, or will you choose to deny Jesus? Does the gospel bring life, or is it going to bring death? Because that's what it does. It separates. Just like the cross, in all time, you have you have BC and AD. Isn't it interesting that our time of the universe is all geared around the cross of Christ? Even that they will try and replace. Even that they'll try and change. My words, they will try and change that in time. But let me say that the cross of Christ is central to our very existence as a human race. The cross of Christ is central to our every breath that we got here on this earth. Amen? Oh, come on. Thank you. So, as I've had to walk through, God's given me these experiences, and how many of us know that electricity prices are going up and up and up? Isn't that crazy what's happening? All in the name of solar, and I'm not against green energy. Don't get me wrong. But when you run a facility like that beautiful gift that God has given us over here in Strathalbyn, of all places... Can anything good come out of Strathalbyn? You bet your bottom dollar. When you've been given this beautiful facility to run, it actually costs money. I'll say it again, money. I remember going to a pastor's conference, and the then Bishop David Paik of the Lutheran Church said to all these well-learned pastors in the room, what do you need for mission? What do you think you need for mission? One pastor put his hand up and said, the word. You've got to have the word. Yeah, that's true, but that's not the right answer, said Pastor Pake. Come on, anyone else, what do you need for mission? The more spiritually minded said, the Holy Ghost. We can't do this without the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's correct, but it's not the answer I'm looking for, said Pastor Pake. What else do you need for mission? Well, you need people. Yes, that's true, but it's not the answer that I'm looking for, said Pastor Pate. Are you ready? All these learned men were wondering, well, gee, hang on. I went to seminary. I think I've pretty much done my homiletics and exegesis and every other thing that you have to do. What's the answer? Money. Show me the money, said Pastor Pate. See, ministry takes money. And this by no means is a sermon about asking you for money. What it is it's about showing you how God will test your faith, your individual walk. As you're walking for Jesus and upholding Jesus, he will test you in every area of your life. And when I looked at Proverbs chapter 3 and experienced the rising cost of electricity costs and seeing the budget getting tighter and tighter, the rubber band getting stretched further and further, I said, well, what can we do? I know, let's get solar. So we set upon a project and we've installed a solar project with batteries up there at our site. But do you think I had the money for it? No. It had to be a step of faith. Who knows that without faith you cannot please God? I think that says it in the good book, doesn't it? Without faith you cannot please God. So we needed to step out in faith, and we knew that we needed to cut energy costs, and we also knew that we did not have the resources to do it. We do not get government funding. How is this going to happen? So we prayed, and we literally, I remember being on my knees going, Lord, you've got to have the answer here, because I sure as heck do not. What are you going to do? Well, I want you to step out in faith, Graham. Okay. So we signed up. We signed a contract to get the solar put in. And then we said, okay, Lord, we believe that this is what you're asking us to do, to be good stewards of what you've given us. We shall do this. And then, do you know what happened? I've never met the person, but a beautiful, single, possibly lonely, as we prayed for lonely people, man left us part of his estate in his will. And out of that, I had a phone call out of the blue from public trustee that ended up coming and paying for almost half of our solar implementation. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful? You see, if we step out in faith, trust in God from the bottom of our hearts, and we don't try and figure out everything. Graham, don't just stop it. Stop trying to figure out everything and trust me, says the Lord. Trust me. So he requires faith. The other part of this is where it says, listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. You see, when you exercise faith, you're building a relationship with Jesus. Faith is spelt R R-I-S-K. Risk. Isn't that interesting? And as you risk it for Jesus, you're building a relationship with Jesus. And he becomes ever more so true in your walk. You see, lads in the program, when you graduate, and get back in, out into that world, you're going to have to walk by faith through the valleys. It's interesting that Psalm 23, the first verse, says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd that will guide your steps. He will shepherd you as you go through these hard times. And you will not be in want. That's the verse. You will not be in want. If you trust Jesus to be your shepherd, he provides because you have faith. You see? And so, relationship is to be built. Do you know that as you walk in this proverb, not only does it affect your finances, but he also blesses your health. How many of us in TC want good health? Amen, guys? Yeah. We know what we're coming out of, and we know what we need, and we know the health that he's got for us. It says here, your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. How good is that? How good is God? But don't assume that you know anything, everything. Humble ourselves. He who humbles himself shall be exalted, but he who exalts himself shall be humbled. You see, God will also provide us a humble heart. I don't even think I can drum up a humble heart by myself. But Christ in his work in me humbles me, which then he chooses to bless. It's this paradoxical relationship that God does in my heart, and he's forever faithful. He says, honor God with everything you own, give him the first and the best. Wow. The old traditional thing of tithing your first fruits. When you get that first job, tithe your first 10% and watch what God will do. Watch what he will do. And that's not your net figure, that's your gross figure. Just want to get that right, okay? Tithe your first 10%. Don't make a law out of it, but tithe your first 10% because you want to bless the Lord for everything that he's done for you. Everything. And watch what he does. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. He will do this, and he will bless you in possessions. Not prosperity teaching at all. This is grace teaching because of his death on the cross, because of his resurrection. He gave up his life so that we could be free. And in appreciation and thanks to God for that, we want to give him our first tenth, don't we? Yes. Okay, the collection's a bit low this morning. We want to give him our first tenth, don't we? Amen? Yeah, come on. Because of everything he's done for us. Gave up his only son. His only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, what an exchange. This life for eternal life. Wow, I can't wait. And yet my eternal life has started right now. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. How good is our God? Don't think, dear friends, don't resent God's discipline when it comes. Lads, in the program, if you muck up, there's disciplines, isn't there? The wrath of Darren shall be brought forth with an iron scepter. But don't despise that. The word says here, but don't, dear friends, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. You see, if we make ourselves accountable to our elders, accountable to those that God's placed in authority, wow. Here, in there's a blessing. If we embrace, I mucked up, I'm wrong, I humble myself, I did wrong, and I deserve the So that's about being accountable. We've got a number of guys who are graduating over the next couple of months. Praise God. And that was to God, not you guys graduating, by the way. But we have a number of guys who are graduating. Now, they're actually choosing to stay on for a little while. Why? It's a big thing to leave the nest. A bird will flick its young ducklings, chicklings, out of the nest to sink or swim. And so as guys graduate from our program, they'll leave the nest. Were they going to sink or are they going to swim? And as they do, part of embracing that swimming, soaring with the eagles, is remaining accountable. And so some guys are going to stay on, serve new guys coming into the program, whilst they know they're still accountable, but they're finding their way now. They've got a new life, but it's like a little baby learning how to walk. Isn't it cute when our grandkids are 12 months and they're just starting to sit up, they're just starting to pull themselves up on all the furniture where they shouldn't be, and they're just starting to walk around like little babies getting their feet, and they become more and more confident, and then they go further, but hang on, you can't cross that road, just come here. There needs to be some accountability. And so the guys that are graduating, they're choosing accountability, not because Graham says so, but they're actually embracing it. How good is that? Praise God. How good is that? And yet at the same time, God says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, Matthew 6, will have enough worries of its own. Why do you worry about what you will eat or what you will drink? Do the birds of the air fuss over this? How much does God look after the birds? So why do you worry? Aren't you more important to God than the birds? Amen. How much more is he going to watch over you? You can go in faith in the name of Jesus, and he will watch over you. He will provide for you. We do not have to worry, but trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he makes your paths straight, even to the point where wow, all of a sudden I get a new car. How did that happen? Someone just felt the need to donate a car. Wow, all of a sudden, by a roundabout way, I got this job. Incredible. He's making your path straight. How amazing is God? He has a million different ways in his computer to somehow try and look after his. Isn't God good? He is amazing. Just like out of the blue the estate came to us, in the smaller things, he will out of the blue provide for you. I think he's amazing, don't you? Well, we have a number of guys that are graduating, and one of those guys, see, there's three of them and they don't know which one I'm going to pick. And it's Jesse A. Yeah, Jesse A, come on down. Can't go up there where the Holy of Holies are. You have to come down here. So, Jesse, it's been an amazing year for you.
Yep.
You've graduated. Short guys, it's the only way I can get elevation over you. What's it been like coming from darkness into light?
Yeah, it's all new, you know. It's all new to me. That it's a massive thing to have faith. When you know you don't know what life looks like, you know what I mean. I've been in addiction my whole life, pretty much. So this is all new to me. I'm like you said, like a little baby coming into the world. You know, mentally, physically, financially. So it's really stepping into faith, like you said, and believing. I think to come far in TC, you really need to have a vision of what life could look like. You need to have a vision of what kind of man you could be, what kind of man you want to be.
Tell us about that vision. What's that look like?
You know, that it all comes from... It all comes from hope, you know what I mean? And to have hope, you know, that comes back to faith. And, you know, my brain, I try to explain it the best way I can. I'm not great with explaining stuff. But
you're doing well.
But the verse that comes to my head is Romans 12, you know. Do not copy the customs and behaviours of this world, but let God transform you through the renewal of your mind. By changing the way you think, then you will know God's will for your life, which is good, pleasing and perfect. You know, for me, it really comes back to that. You know, to know that I could be a new person, you know. I say to people, I hated who I was, but I love who I am. You know what I mean?
So good.
2 Corinthians, I think 5:17. Those who believe in Christ become a new creation. The old life has ended, a new life has begun. You know, when I really realised that God is real, and I understood that, you know, God has a will and purpose for my life. I have to follow Him. I have to surrender. I have to let Him guide me. That's when everything changed. You know, when you really truly believe that, that's when the magic happens.
Okay. Does that come off? Isn't that something? How good and pleased is God? You know, another another guy graduating is Dave. Yeah, got to get Dave up here for a quick one, just to share a little bit about just some of the miracles, Dave, and where you're heading in life. That'd be great.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been in the program nearly 1 year now. I'll be graduating on the 28th of this month. So about 3 weeks left now. And just in the last month, God's done a lot in my life. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do when I finished the program. I know what I wanted to get into. I wanted to get into construction, into building management. Studied a degree in that about 6 years ago. But because of my lifestyle and my addictions, I really never held down a job. I was never really successful in that area. And actually, I met a Christian fella at a camp late last year who owned a building company, and he said to me he'd give me a job in that, and then some things came up with my driver's license, which I wasn't aware of, but I couldn't drive until May this year. And he said to me at the time, he said, just give me a call, you know, in May, June, when you get your license back, and we'll go from there. And I didn't really think the job would still be there, but when I got my license back, I gave him a call and he got me in for an interview, and the interview sort of went well in that, but I just sort of prayed about it and said, whatever is right, Lord, however you want to direct me, if you want to give me this opportunity or not, that's fine. And there was no like specific job or anything on the table. And then he called me back in a week later, and he laid out literally the most perfect job you could possibly ask for, or I could ask for anyway, not for everyone, but definitely what I wanted to get into. And then there was a bit of an issue around transport, because I don't have a car, I don't really have a whole lot of money at the moment. And my mate called me. Literally, I was on the way back from just getting the job offer. And he called me, and he was on my mind. I thought I got to give him a call, because he said to me last year that if I needed the car, I could give him a call, and he would lend it to me. And he literally called me, and I said to him, I was just about to give you a call and see if I could still use the car. And he said, when do you need it? I said, oh, the 26th of June. And he said, that's perfect, because that's when he was going to go on uni break. So just so many things just fell into place perfectly. It's been really cool. It's real stressful, very tiring sort of work. I really enjoy it, and I sort of really thrive in that environment. Just all thanks to God and what He's done in my life, and I'm just very thankful for TC. As Graham said, I am staying on a little bit, maybe just to the end of the year, maybe a bit longer, because I do want the accountability of being in a sober community, and I do want the opportunity to give back to the place that's given me everything, or given me my life back. And I know that it's a ministry and God's Spirit is there, but obviously there's people that sacrifice their time and their resources and their life to give to that place, and it is a special place. I think it's an anointed place, and I'm just super thankful that somewhere like that exists, because I wouldn't be here speaking to you about the successes that I'm having if it wasn't for TC. So yeah, thanks guys, that's where I'm at. And
so Dave, how important, just reflecting on your time, how important, as you think over the things, even coming in, how important was God's timing in things and how that just unfolded through your time?
Yeah, for sure. You mean, I think even getting into rehab, there was a certain amount of timing around that. I really had to hit rock bottom. Like, nobody goes to rehab unless things are really, really bad in their life. Like, no one's there for a holiday. And if they are, they don't last. My family wanted me to go to rehab about 3 years ago, and I didn't think it was necessary. Got some counselling and stuff at the time, but ultimately fell back into drug use, back into alcoholism. And it really just was always in waves. Like, I'd sort of get better for a little bit and then I would just fall away again, because the temptation to just go to a bottle or go to a pub or go see a mate who's going to give you some weed or some drugs or whatever. It's too easy. Like for me, if you're deep in drug addiction and you've been there any amount of time, you need to go somewhere where all of that stuff is just off limits, you know, like you can't go buy this, you can't go get that. I really don't see any other way of getting over drug addiction if that's not there. So there was a certain amount of timing insofar as getting there. Like I had to be completely out of options. I had to be literally like at rock bottom. And that's really where I got to. Like what sort of happened with me is that I tried to take my own life. And then the same night I got evicted from my house, and so I was homeless, I was heavily suicidal, and I called my mate and I said, do you mind if I stay with you for a little bit until I can get on my feet in that? And he actually recommended Teen Challenge, and I was just like, yeah, that's what I need to go to rehab, I need to get this right or I'm just not going to last. There was other things going on at the time as well, legally, like I had a pretty serious court case going on for some driving offences that could have seen me go to jail, and it was like one way or the other. It's like if I don't get help, and if I don't get the help I need, I'm either going to end up dead or I'm going to end up in jail. And there was just no way around that because I was really just, I was a proper maniac on drugs and booze, so...
And what about the timing of you getting your license and how that...
Yeah. So when I got offered that job last year, I was actually going to leave the program in that. And I was going to start working in that. And I thought, this is it. I've been in the program for 6 months. And I thought, yeah, the timing's here. It's sort of time to move on in that. And then it came up that I didn't obviously have a driver's license because all this ongoing court stuff, I had driving offences whilst I was on a probationary agreement. So even though the courts had said you're going to have a 6 month disqualification, there was another 6 month disqualification. And that in and of itself sort of kept me at rehab for a while because I thought, well, if I can't get out and I don't have a driver's license, I may as well stay here and sort of do the work in that. And it sort of kept me here, and I'm like looking back, I can see how premature it would have been to leave after 6 months. It just, the timing wouldn't have been right. And even now, after 12 months, getting my life together, going out, getting employment, and all of that, like I can see, like, yeah, I still need this place for some time anyway, until I'm on my feet. And yeah, God's timing's been perfect. I can't really explain it any other way, but yeah, God's just had his hand, and he's let me run myself out at certain times, and then he sort of picked me up, and then he's blessed me with certain things. And I don't know, I'd have to write it all out really to explain it to you, but I can definitely testify that God's timing has been immaculate.
We pray for all the guys. One guy that I'm praying for is Jamie. Jamie, come on up, mate. Yeah, newbie on the block. Let's give him a real rousing applause. Whilst I think of it too, every Friday night, I slipped up last Friday night. We get new guys come in and we acknowledge them and really honour them for giving, trusting us with 12 months of their life. And on Friday night just gone, I missed young Josh. I missed Josh. So let's welcome Josh to Teen Challenge today. Yeah. Just to embarrass you. Yeah. Welcome, Josh. So I acknowledge you and I thank you for coming and choosing TC. Hey, Jamie, can I interview you? Too late, you're here.
Well, let's do it.
Jamie, how did you hear about Teen Challenge?
My lawyer came up with it. So I did a couple of months in jail. Obviously, I was deep in the drug world and ended up making a big mistake, and that got me arrested. I won't delve into it, but you know, when you haven't slept for a week at times, or more than that, You make bad decisions in arguments with other people, so, you know, we can anyhow, but that's what I was doing, like using methamphetamine and that. So when you haven't slept for a week, you don't make very good decisions, where otherwise I would have probably gone the other way. That ended in me going to jail for the second time, and I'm lucky to not be doing about a year in there. So my lawyer came up with it, and I've been given the chance to go this way instead, and I really needed it, because the only places I was going were places where there were drugs, other drugs as well, and obviously I'd go and drink for the whole time.
Yeah, so you'd never heard of Teen Challenge?
No.
In all your life?
No. My lawyer came up with it. So okay. That really saved me at the end of the day, and I've never been Christian, I've never really gone to church or looked into the Bible or anything. So in these 6 weeks, it's been really eye-opening. There's a really welcoming community everywhere, and I can sense the love and the blessing that I've been given. So
you knew nothing at all about Christianity, God. What was your perceptions of all that world? Did you ever? Was it a bunch of do's and don'ts?
What you see on TV or hear, you know, around and about, and like it was just something that I'd fob off. Like when I was growing up, my mum wasn't really like, we had a family breakup and all that, so she wasn't really praying anymore. Where her mum, my nana, obviously would have had her, from what I've heard, every night. You know, praying, and I don't know if they went to services all the time, but they were believers. So, like, with things going on and that, I wasn't really raised around the belief of that sort of stuff, and like keeping solid around. I was raised around a lot of arguments, and you know.
So here's an interesting question for you, being an outsider coming in, so to speak. What's the best way for church or Christians to reach the world, to reach guys like you?
Like his do, really, I reckon, because you can't judge a book by its cover, but the way that I've been greeted by everyone, you guys here, in other communities, without judgment.
Yeah.
Just the way that you have, without judgment. You greet someone without judging the book by its cover, and you greet everyone in the same manner that you greet the next person. So someone like myself or someone else that, you know, has been down that route, like a lot of the fellas here, and like you said earlier, we've all been sinners. Otherwise, there's a hard way for me to understand God and Jesus having forgiveness, and like for us to open up to that, it's hard because I'm new, like, but to put it together in words for what I've listened to, I like that, because it makes sense. Like
that's awesome.
It's welcoming for us to go down another path, is the way that I put it into words.
I remember this guy saying, every now and again we go down to the Salvation Army at Perry Street in Adelaide on the second Friday of each month. And I reckon that was one of those services which was, you were very new. You're still new, but you were new, you were then. And I remember saying, so Jamie, how are you coping with all this Christian stuff? And do you remember the words you said to me? I do.
No.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you said. He said, "Wow, you look around and everyone's having a good time." Do you remember that?
Yeah, because it's been similar what I've been saying to everyone. Yeah. It's quite honest.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can't lie.
So the witness is, church, let's just be ourselves. Don't try and be something that we're not. Let's just be accepting and loving of people, and that will be what will attract them to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Tell me, here's a question, and it doesn't, there's no right or wrong answer. Where are you at with Jesus?
Um, At the moment, I'm at a point of embracing and understanding, like we just talked about, embracing and understanding and thankfulness.
Yeah.
For the forgiveness and welcoming into a new community and a new opportunity in life that leads to many opportunities.
Yep.
And it helps me understand myself a lot.
Yep.
Because regardless of what I've done, good or bad, I feel like deep down, like we're all quite similar. Like I can be like that, forgiving and always try and give another opportunity to make amends with people. So obviously that's what I like in return.
That's great. That deserves an applause, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Your chant. Bless you. Good.
Whoa. Let's party. Over one sinner that repents, the whole angelic hosts of heaven celebrate every sinner that repents. Thank you, Lord. I just want to stop for a moment. Father, we just want to come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we've heard today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that you take us right where we're at. You don't judge us, but you accept us. When we accept Jesus, you accept us. I'm in awe of your love, Father. And I thank you for every good gift that you've given to these men, to Jamie in particular, and for all the men in the program where you're doing a marvelous work. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. I want to just finish with reading the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's a really fitting way to finish our segment here with you guys this morning. And on that, TC, let's just give the Churches of Christ a big round of applause for having us, for their support to us. And you were very quiet then, Teen Challenge. Yeah, it's not like you. Let's just give them a rip-roaring applause. That's it. That's it. That's more the Teen Challenge way. Amen. Yeah. Okay, to finish, now it's midnight, so listen to these words. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Thank you, Jesus. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Amen. Thank you so much, Church of Christ, for having us back. Today we do pray for Pastor David, who's feeling a little bit unwell, and we've got a couple guys too still back at the ranch which apparently are unwell as well. We do give thanks for you, and God bless you. And to the new guys in the program, special thanks to Jamie, by the way. Let's give it up again for him. To the guys in the program, hear every word. Open your hearts. This is a chance of a new beginning. New beginning for each and every one of us. Amen. God bless.